Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 will be our text here this morning. I love you, Landmark, with all my heart. It's always a joy when I pull up in the parking lot. Amen. I'm like, man, I can't wait to see him. And I've been here a lot this year, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I enjoy each service that we have together. I want to preach this morning on things that a Christian can lose. Here we are at Thanksgiving. For ever a time that you and I ought to give thanks is now. Amen. But it shouldn't just be limited to a week and a year. I mean, if you're in the Word, you're going to be lifting your hands. If you're in the Word, your heart's going to be rejoicing. If you're faithful in the house of God, your fellowship with God's people, with the Spirit of God in us is precious. I mean, you're constantly running over saying, God, thank you for good friends. Thank you for a good pastor. Thank you for a good church. If you've ever been sick and someone's knocked on your door with food, thank God someone cares for you when you can't care for yourself. Amen. If you got here because of a bus, thank God somebody knocked on your door on a Saturday and said, Landmark Baptist Church loves you, and we'd like for you to come to church. And faithfully, they have fed you, not only spiritually, but physically. They probably have clothed you. They have let you know in so many other ways that they love you and care for you. Bus don't mean a hill of beans unless somebody gets in there early. Start that thing up. Make sure there's fuel in and tires are good. Somebody's got to work the neighborhood. What I'm saying is there's so much to be thankful for. Amen. But there's a problem in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, if you'll turn there. Bible says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Here it is, because thou hast left thy first love. God help you and I to keep growing in the Lord. It takes the Word of God to keep our hearts warm and to keep us sensitive towards the things that matter to God. We live in a cold world, and if you're not careful, money can be your God, or sports can be your God, an RV can be your God. I mean, the devil's always trying to get you out of those areas where you and I need to be sensitive. This church at Ephesus lost their first love. It's an idea that they lost the spirit of evangelism. I mean, it's clear. It's the mandate of the church to go to the world and preach the gospel. It's to start here locally. And you say, well, we've done it for years. Well, folks have moved in and moved out. Keep doing it. Amen. Listen, your job not to save anybody. Your job's to go tell the story. And so keep it simple. But God says, if you'll do what I've asked you to do, I'll bless the church. God said, I can open doors or close doors. I can let the enemy in or keep him out. God loves a church that continues to build and layer their love for what he's done for you. How long has it been since you walked by Calvary and saw how bloody and what a horrible day it was? They couldn't even recognize him when they took him off. I mean, they put the crown of thorns up on him. They took a spear in his side. They flogged him in the back. I'm telling you, he was ripped to pieces. But thank God, why would someone do that? He died for your sins to set you free. Don't ever forget that Jesus took your sins and a penalty on Calvary. It was an ugly sin or ugly scene, but sin's ugly. Hell's a horrible place. Thank God I am not going to go there. But somebody had to die to set me free. Thanksgiving's a time where you and I acknowledge the goodness of God. What the Bible says, Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That word means to agree, means to give answer, it means to receive it. Hell's full of folks that God acknowledged them on the cross, but they wouldn't acknowledge him on the cross. Heaven acknowledged them as sinners and sent the substitute to die for their sins, but they would never acknowledge God. Hell's full of folks that could have been saved, but they chose not to. Bible reminds you and I, this church here at Ephesus had a problem. May I remind you, labor is no substitute for love. I mean, you can be married, but if you don't keep that romance and keep that love and do little things. You and I as Christians, it's little things that build the layers of love for God. It's Bible study. You need a devotion. You need to get in the Word. You need to let the water of God's Word cleanse you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You need the promises to remind you your sins are under the blood. Heaven, that there's a home being built for you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. What I'm saying is this. God wants to be intimate with you. He wants to share the secrets of this book to keep you vibrant for the things of God. This church lost its first love. There was a time it did little things that made a difference. There was a time the folks in the church would search out God, but other things grabbed their attention. Could that be true with you today? Could there be a time that you had little things on your plate for God? I mean, it could be a soul winner. It could be pass a track. It could be have a Bible study. You realize your prayer life is not very good if you don't study the Bible. You got to have a knowledge to access or to get a hold of God. You got to realize that you don't go to the Father unless you go in Jesus' name. Amen. You got to realize we are privileged children. And if you're not careful, you'll forget who you are. Thank God. Go by the cross and say, God, thank you for dying for me. Yeah. But don't stop at the cross. Go just go a little yonder and look there. The tomb's empty. Amen. Hey, God is satisfied. Sin has been paid for. The blood has been delivered. And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Man, we got a lot to be thankful for. Go to the empowerment of the church in Acts. Who would we be if the Holy Spirit didn't live in us? Who would we be if he didn't make us strong in the Lord? Listen, it's God in us that makes us worthy. It's God in us that keeps you and I, that you and I won't get complacent and get to the place where we don't get content. It's God moving in our heart. Man, reminds you, He'll build a fire in there. It'll warm you up. But not only will it warm you up, that heat will overflow in the lives of others. This church is only as good as those that sit in the pew. One by one, the devil's always beckoning you to come out. And he's got a lot of little gods out there that'll distract you from the most important thing in your life, and that is to acknowledge him in all your ways. You got a lot of yous out there that's asking you to vote and say, I agree with you. But listen to me, Bible will let you spot those guys out. And they'll let you see the truth about the philosophy of man and how empty it is. It'll remind you that life without God is vanity. How sad would it be if you lived to be 100 with $1 million in the bank? The money stays and you burn in hell. You've missed the whole picture. God loves sinners and Christ died for sinners. And here you are in hell. Money's here, but your life's in hell forever. Listen to me, church, if there's ever a call for you and I to get back to that place where we just don't labor, but we labor in love. Amen. Keep your passion. Don't ever lose the wonder of it all. And that is that God loves sinners and that Christ died for us. He wants to set you free from what? From you. You realize your own sins, if you don't get them under the blood, at the end will slay you. Not the sins of your neighbor, your sins. Right. It's going to come back and judge you and put you under damnation forever. Right. Well, you'd be a fool to say, I don't need God. Without God, you're a mess. Without God, you have a horrible future. What do I do, preacher? Acknowledge who He is. Confess to Him. I'm a sinner. You're a Savior. I'm small. You're big. God, save my soul. Yeah. Then you can have thanksgiving. He reminds you and I all through the Word of God. We got to keep that fire burning. We need that by each log that we decide to lay upon there. We need the log of fellowship. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Oh, isn't it good to be in God's house with God's people? Can't you feel the Spirit of God through song, through the piano? What a beautiful job. My goodness, I had stood up and had to find out who's over there tickling the ivory. I thought pastor got up and did that. Beautiful. Man, hey, listen, we got so much to be thankful for. Here's a church that got in trouble. You know what the signs of losing your first love is? It's real simple. You and I get more excited about things or someone else than we are about the things of God. There's a time you'd have been here to help reach the kids, but you've lost your interest. There's a time that you help those buses, but you've lost your interest. And your attitude is, I've done it long enough. You know, that's baloney. I don't know where you picked it up, but that's a sorry excuse. Bible tells you and I to make sure that our interests in worldly things are not taken away from the interest in godly things. The Bible says that you and I will stand before the Lord. He mentions two categories. He says wood, hay, and stubble. That's the fleshly things. It'll burn. But then he mentions gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are spiritual things. What determines carnal and spiritual? Your decisions today. You say, well, does it really matter? It must matter to him because he's going to call you out up there. And then based upon your crowns, it relates to authority. However you live here determines the authority you have in the 1,000-year reign. So the bottom line is it does count. That's why he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Your heart ought to be bursting forth. Why? Because he's still on the throne. I'm still in the family. I've made my reservation. I love the word of God. I get a walk with God. He's telling me the secrets of the world. You can watch Fox News, CNN. They're clueless. But thank God, a child of God, we have the privilege to walk with him and to know the secrets of his heart. I want to encourage you. If you've lost your first love, it's simply because your thought life is running away from the things of God. Your decisions are no longer based upon, is this pleasing in God's sight? We cover up our disobedience with excuses. You know, let's just be honest. You ain't right with God. I mean, I know it's your knee. I know it's your elbow. I know your dog got out. I know your car ain't running good. But my daddy always said, if you want to do it bad enough, you'll do it. See, the idea of being a soul winner, that just don't happen accidentally. You got to purposely say, you know what, I'm going to pass the track. I'm going to purposely go to that door and see if I can get that kid. You realize if you don't get that kid in the house of God, he don't have a very good future ahead of him. You realize some mom and dads are so doped up, they don't have the interest. Their heart's not right. Their mind's not right. And there's a precious child saying, help! God forbid that we'd quit hearing the cry in the streets of Winchester when God's given you the money and the buses. He's just waiting for the laborers to step up and reach people for the cause of Christ. Could it be that Landmark could be falling into this state of complacency? God forbid. I mean, he tells you and I here in this verse, he said, well, preacher, what are you saying? What do we do? Well, he tells you and I here in verse 5, remember, therefore, from which thou art fallen. He said, let me remind you, there was a time you had a fervent love for me. There was a time we were right. But slowly you begin to fade away. My workers are being dispersed on other duties that are no longer pleasing to the Lord. See, We basically tell people where our heart is when they find where they find us at. You make any excuse you want to, but the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. It can happen to any of us. Demas got distracted. John Mark got distracted. Samson had the Spirit of God upon him. He got distracted. Achan was in the army. He got distracted. I'm telling you, the devil knows you probably a little better than you know yourself. He knows your websites on your computer. He knows your conversations on the phone. He knows the cinema of your mind. He knows the seed that you put in your heart. You say, well, I got everybody fooled. Well, you think you do, but God knows exactly who you are. Now, I want to remind you, he knew this church and he called them out. And he tells them in verse 5, he says, from whence thou art fallen, he says, repent and go back and do your first works, what he says in the Bible, or else I'll come quickly and remove thy candlestick. You know what that candlestick is? It's the light of Landmark Baptist Church. So God shines through Landmark through you. But if you quit showing up, if you lose your burden, if you get to the place where that first love is no longer there, the light gets dimmer. That light represents the testimony of Landmark Baptist Church. They ought to see your buses pass by. They might not get on, but it's a testimony that they're still doing it the old-fashioned way. They ought to see you. Hey, man, pass the track. What I'm saying is God says if you're not going to do it, I'll remove the candlestick. Don't you mess with me, he says. I want my light to shine bright. I want you to have a testimony that represents the love of God. I don't want you just to labor as a substitute. I want you to do it because you love me. I want to remind you, he says, I got a problem with this church. And the thing that they lost that's dear to me is their first love. I want to give you one more. He says in Psalm 51, verse 12, you know the guy's name. His name is David. David was king. David got a little too big for his britches. David should have been out doing his duties on the battlefield. But instead, he got spiritually lazy. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. Bible says in Psalm 51 verse 12, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David said, "God, there was a time it was sweet. Oh, there was a time you had a song in my heart and I would sit in front of the king, Saul, and play. And God, you was all over me. God, you hid me in caves I couldn't hardly get in. I've watched the enemy walk by because, God, you put your hand over me. There's a time we walked and with integrity. There's a time that you have put a love in me and a passion for me." But David now is living on the higher end of on the hog. And boy, he could just get anything by just a command. And he lost his integrity for a time and he knew better. Isn't it crazy? We know better, but we still do it. You realize when you study here, restoring to me the joy of thy salvation, you know why? You're reading Psalm chapter 51. David's sin affected his whole body. He says his eyes were never the same in verse 3. He said his mind, oh, how many's ever got up in the middle of the night and the devil says, "I've been waiting for you to get up." And he starts casting all these imaginations towards you. And you lay down and you try to rest, but the devil said, "You ain't gonna rest. What about this and what about that?" And your mind starts going. And you lay there and sleep is going. You know why? Because many times we're not living in that secret chamber with God like David was at one time. And before you know it, sin has taken our eyes. Sin has interrupted the peace of the mind. Next thing you know, he says there in verse 8, "The ears and the bones of my body have never been right. They ain't sitting right. There's an ache in me." Sin will beat you up. Why the devil tries so hard to get you away from the house of God, away from the Word of God. He wants you to get out there. He wants you to start thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. It takes the Word of God to bring us back down. One man said, pride is like sin, or it's like a beard. If you don't shave it every day, what happens? It gets ugly. I mean, you got wild hairs everywhere. You try to comb it and that says, "No, I ain't going down, I'm staying up." So thank God you got to shave that thing. You got to put the border on it. God says pride's the same thing. All of us can be prideful. But you know what? We got to walk by the cross. We got to walk by the tomb. We got to realize, you know what? I'm nothing without Him. In this, He tells you and I, be careful. David said, "I lost the joy of my salvation." One man says, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your system. Somewhere there's a leak in your Christianity. You got to find it, but you ain't good enough to find it. It takes the Holy Spirit of God, if you allow Him, to comb through your life, amen, and say, boom, David, there it is. There's the problem. He x-rays us. Well, you and I would never x-ray ourselves. I mean, we don't really want to know what's in there, even though we know that it's not good, so we avoid it. I don't like scales. I kick them. I don't want to jump on those scales. First thing a doctor said, "I want to get your blood pressure. I need your weight." Oh, gee. Can I dig a ditch for you? I'd do anything. I don't want those scales. Because the reality is, I know what it's going to say, so I avoid it. See, many times we know what the Bible is going to say, but we just kick at it. We just walk away from it. We don't want to face up to the truth. How many of you know you ought to be to the doctor, but you know what he's going to say, you don't want to hear it? So you'll just die 10 years early. Basically what you're saying. Doctors say, "I can fix you if you'll come." But you said, "I don't really want to hear what you got to say. So I'll just take the chance on dying early." Am I right or wrong? So it's the same thing with the Bible. I mean, they tell us and remind us. David said, "I thought I could take her. I thought we could have a child together. She stroked me with her words." And all those things. Listen, the devil's good at what he does. He'll do whatever it takes to bring you in so he can get the joy out of your heart for the Lord. David's in a mess. David says there in verses 8 through 12, he said, "God, would you please restore me? There's a time I had your touch. There's a time I had your joy. But I've lost that joy. I've entered into the realm of sin. Oh, God, I had no idea it was going to rob me of my eyesight, my peace of my mind. My heart's troubled. My bones are aching. God, help me." That's exactly what sin will do. It'll take you out of fellowship with God. If you ain't in fellowship with God, your fellowship with the church is in trouble too. But aren't you glad for a merciful God? You get down there and you read the rest of that, verse 13, through 19. David, remember when he was God's servant. He remembered there was a time that people would actually listen to him. See, when you get involved in sin, it takes your integrity away. See, there was a time you could stand up and say, listen, thus saith the Lord. And then you go out and get caught in sin and lose your joy. Your words don't have the same punch to it. David said, there was a time I could stand and order my troops. But now they look at me and said, you're the coward. You're the one that skipped duty. There was a time that David could say, hey, honor the Lord with your life. And they said, yeah, real good, David, like you did with Bathsheba. See, the devil knows if he can get you all mixed up in sin, he'll take the light from you. He'll rob you of a testimony. He'll take the punch out of your mouth. The next thing you know, you'll be like Lot. Judgment is coming. Lot rallies the troops, but there's no rally there. They said, Daddy, come on. Judgment ain't coming. You're the one that taught us what Sodom and Gomorrah is all about. You're the one that taught us the game of sin. Daddy, we don't believe you. He said to his wife, come on, honey. Don't look back. Whatever you do, don't look back. But listen, it's hard to look back when the world's got your heart. She couldn't even see the promises of God. The eyes of faith were stripped from her because the cataract of sin robbed her of spiritual sight. And she turns to a pillar of salt. There's two things that I want you to think about. Christians can lose their first love. They can lose the joy of their salvation. It's really kind of hard to enjoy a Thanksgiving other than the material food. But spiritually, you can't really enjoy it because there's been an interruption. And the only thing you can do is, God's a merciful God. Isn't that wonderful? He says, if you'll just come and confess and I'll restore you and I can still use you in other ways, but I can't do anything until you acknowledge your ways and realize that you've come short. I am a loving God. I'm a merciful God. But I'm waiting for you to give me thanks again. And I want to give you an invitation through the Word of God here this morning to get things right. I don't know where you're at. But you ought to know where you're at. Amen. You say, well, preacher, are these things that we can lose? The Bible says it is. But thank God there's one thing we can't lose. If you're saved, it's eternal salvation. Amen. He gives you eternal life. Well, preacher, what do I do to get it? You give your heart to the Lord. I mean, I'll give you a few verses. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Say it with me, but have eternal life. That's John 3:15. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, but have everlasting life. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It's all through the Bible. Sin will take you to eternal damnation, but the grace of God will lift you above judgment because Jesus took your judgment and he'll set you free. He'll cover your sins with blood and give you righteousness that you'll never have. He can do all that if you'll just acknowledge him and say, God, save my soul. I invite you in this morning, save my soul. Christian, you got to be honest. God, I believe I've lost my first love. I believe I've lost it, but I sure want it back. Oh, God, restore me. God, bring me back to the place you can use me. God, it could be I've lost the joy of God. There's a time the birds sung. There's a time there was a joy, but things have taken that from me. But God, I want it back. I want it back. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for the clarity of the word. God, I pray you'll use it to touch the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. I pray for Christians that they would come and say, God, I heard you loud and clear. May they get it settled here this morning. I pray for the sinner. Oh, God, you're doing a work there. I pray that they would acknowledge you and come and give you their heart here this morning. God will praise you for it. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Preacher, I'm not saved. I know I'm not. I know without a doubt I'm not saved, but I sure like to be. Would you just pray for me, preacher? I don't want to leave here the same way I come in. I need to get saved. Would you just lift your hand right now real quick? Just lift it up, put it down. Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. Someone else quickly. I'm looking. Anybody at all. Preacher, God spoke to my heart. I am saved, but I need to do business. We're going to give you that opportunity here right now. Would you stand with us, please? What number, brother?
271.
The pastor's going to come.